Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 34, Episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist for June 6, 2018. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. 20 different cities in America, born and raised at Cracked was where I spent most of my days, chilling out, maxing, podcasting, and cooling, recording endless stuff about another school shooting when Trump and his guys, who were up to no good, that's as far as we got. That is courtesy of Rich Ramey, at The Reesmeister on Twitter, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
And jive, having the time of your life. Ooh, see that gray, hear that pod, dig in the zeitgeist king. Anyway, so that's ABBA.
Uh-huh.
Shout out to at AKA Zeitgeist, which I think is someone who made it.
ABBA. Okay.
Yeah.
ABBA. I'll have to check that
ABBA's
out.
ABBA. All right. And yeah, that's from someone who I presume just created an account on Twitter just to submit AKAs. So shout out to you.
I'm always thrilled with our AKAs when they can make super producer Anna Hosnier take off her glasses and just like put her fist to the bridge of her nose, just like she can't take the secondhand embarrassment.
It's intense in here.
It is. The air is thick with secondhand embarrassment. But we're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a stand-up co-host of one of the all-time great podcasts. Denzel Washington is the greatest actor of all time, period. He wrote for Last Week Tonight during the golden age of that show, was the head writer for Totally Biased with W. Kamau Bell, and now writes for Jim Jefferies.
Yeah.
All right. He is Mr. Kevin Avery.
Hey, guys.
Kevin, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hey,
nailing the freestyling and the musicality.
Yeah,
I like it.
Thank you.
That's what we like to do is make, just to put our guests off a little bit, mm-hmm. start with loud screaming.
Yeah.
And then just bad singing and rapping.
Gotta be honest, didn't know what the hell was going on there for a second.
No, most people
nor
don't.
Should you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do think it helps. It's sort of like lowering ourselves. So the guest is like, these guys are fucking idiots.
Yes.
Like, they feel totally at ease.
I'm on a show with two assholes.
Nobody listens to this, clearly. So
my thinking was, I didn't know I was supposed to have a song prepared.
Yeah.
So I got really nervous.
Oh, right. And then suddenly we're like, Kevin?
I'm feeling good. Yeah, right.
Now, do you need a pitch pipe?
Or at least let me know if I need to hit the harmony, something.
Yeah. Right. Now, the part where you sing isn't for another 5 minutes.
Okay.
All right, guys. Today, we are going to be talking about the primaries. We're going to be talking about what it's like to just get roasted by Jeff Bezos when you work at Amazon. We're going to be talking about where Trump gets his conspiracy theories from these days, his half-assed last-minute celebration of America to try and spite the Eagles yesterday, and whether there were actually Eagles fans there or not. We're going to be talking about Scott Pruitt fuckery. We're going to do a Google trend skim in which we look at David Hogue getting squatted, the D-Day invasion, and Kim Kardashian, world civil rights leader.
The great emancipator.
But first, Kevin, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
That reveals who I am? I don't know if this reveals who I am.
Or something you're searching for.
Maybe the oddest thing I looked for, and I was in the middle of working yesterday. I was in the middle of writing, and for some reason I got it in my head that I needed to find out what the deal is with Agent Johnson and Special Agent Johnson from Die Hard.
Mm. Oh.
And I spent a good 30 minutes Googling them. Yeah.
We were just talking about our favorite underrated character from Die Hard this morning.
Yeah.
Ellis, the just cocky,
terrible.
He's sort of just
great.
His motivation isn't clear, like high on cocaine, because he goes in, talks to somebody he's witnessed murder multiple people, and is like, I'm going to lie to this guy in a way that has no clear like escape plan and just keep telling lies and also call him Booby.
Yeah.
Which is a dope move.
Just that one line. You want McClane? I can give him to you.
That's
the movie right there.
Show him the watch. That's my favorite part.
It turns out that Special Agent Johnson and the reporter, I can't remember his name, there's a news anchor.
Who gets punched.
No, not that guy.
That's
a different guy. There's a news reporter, also last name Johnson. And the director did it as a joke on Reginald Vell Johnson, because he always made fun of his last name. So he's like, let's get as many characters named Johnson.
Weird, because that's such a normal last name. That he was like, Johnson, what the fuck is that?
No, but it's Vel Johnson.
Oh, Vel Johnson.
So
got
he's making fun of this.
Oh,
Vel
got
Johnson.
It.
Yeah.
I didn't realize. Oh, because is it one word or it's space?
It's like, one word. It's not. Yeah, it's not Reginald, middle name Vel, and then John. It's
Vel
Reginald
Johnson.
Vel Johnson.
Mm. Well, all right.
Yeah.
I assumed they were married, so that changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin, what is something you think is overrated?
Well, I had a different answer coming in here, and then I was going to say avocado.
Okay.
Or avocados.
Is that the second time we've gotten that in the nut?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I forget who said that earlier.
Avocados are very popular with this.
Yeah.
I think it was Lori Kilmartin.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Lori, but now I love her even more.
Yeah.
She's right. But I'm not going to say that anymore.
Okay.
LaCroix.
LaCroix.
I knew it.
Yeah,
I knew it.
LaCroix.
You knew that was going to be his overrated.
No, we had a little mini. We pre-potted.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that came. The LaCroix discussion came up.
He was offered one. He said, "No, I'm good." And I was like, "Oh, are you philosophically opposed?" And he said, "I just don't dig on the LaCroix.
I don't need it."
Yeah.
I don't like. It shit makes you gassy, and it. You know.
Yeah.
I don't need all that.
I love it.
Just drink regular water.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like both. I like water and scumbag soda water, which I call LaCroix. Actually, if anyone from LaCroix is listening, sorry about that.
Soda water.
I view it as like sort of high class, I thought. Scumbag soda water?
I don't know. I mean, I just say that in a way that I mean
Mountain
more
Dew
like,
is scumbag soda water.
I'm just, I guess, more scumbag water because I feel like a lot of people like LaCroix because they're like, I hate water, but they like soda. So it's like, oh, it's the worst parts
tricking
of
yourself.
Soda out of it.
Right.
And then water.
Is it LaCroix or is it LaCroix?
LaCroix.
That was a huge thing because we all know the designer Christian LaCroix,
right.
Obviously. But no, that they all say that it's LaCroix,
right?
Because it's based somewhere
it's like Los Feliz,
right?
Right.
We
right.
know it's Los Feliz.
Right. Yeah.
Why won't we change?
I don't know.
Yeah, stubbornness.
That's how I know when people just moved out to LA when they're like, "I'm in Los Feliz,"
right?
And I'm like, "Oh, so you study Spanish?"
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. La Cienega is also a good one where you can tell they just came out.
Oh, why? Like La
Cienega.
Cienega. Oh, wow. Okay.
I've never heard anyone mispronounce that one.
There's a street in the valley called Hazeltine, and some dude called it Hazeltine once in front of me. I was like, wow, is that like a Lord of the Rings
trying
character?
Really hard.
Yeah.
It's like in New York, them calling Houston Street. It's fucking Houston. Like, it's obviously Houston. Nobody's ever called it Houston. Except that street.
No, there's a street on the West Coast. There's a Houston,
also Houston?
Street. Wait, no. So see, I've been away from New York too long. It's Houston or Houston? It's Houston.
In New York, it's Houston.
It's Houston.
Even though it's spelled exactly like Houston, a major, the third biggest
city
like in America.
On the West Coast, there's a Houston Street somewhere, either here or maybe in the Bay Area somewhere where I grew up. But like, I had to get used to saying Houston.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when other people say it incorrectly, I get to make fun of them.
Yes.
That's what this show's about.
Common idiots or something.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's really what those mispronunciations are about. Just like... putting that little word trick in there so you can tell who's an outsider.
Yeah.
It's not really from.
Don't make a fool of yourself.
Could be Houston.
The flavors. So some of my favorite descriptions on Twitter are people trying to describe the flavors of LaCroix because they're just like the memory of a fart of a grapefruit or something.
Oh,
like,
right.
Because it really delicate. Is like they. I don't know how they create just the. Essence of what it tastes like to drink water after having eaten that fruit or something. It's the fruit flavor is not there.
They got scientists in the lab working that out. Also,
no,
my
do.
Weird hack, if you want to make your car smell like new car smell, get a passion fruit LaCroix, keep it open in your car for a few hours. The heat, I'm just telling you, I figured it out because I drink passion fruit LaCroix from time to time, left one open, and I came back in my car and like the scent of the can kind of made my car smell like new car.
New car smell, which is a chemical smell, so that's a little...
Looks,
that doesn't
anyway,
say much for passion
what if
fruit LaCroix.
You just pour it on the floor?
that's
probably going to sustain for a little while.
Also, a real baller move. Just be like, I have so much money, I just pour LaCroix.
At last week tonight, we had a guy who regularly would do that in the writer's room. Just
really?
Dump it out in front of everybody.
That's awesome. What is something that's underrated?
Thought a lot about this. I am going to say year-round Christmas trees. Stay with me.
Mm. Oh.
Like the fake ones.
Sure. Yeah. But yeah, certainly not a live one. You don't want a dead browning tree
right.
in your living room. But I really am only saying this to make it okay that I still have my Christmas tree up. And
okay.
It is a gin. And I got very excited for Christmas. I had moved into a new place this year, mm-hmm. started nesting.
There you go.
Got all the decorations, everything. Got the tree up. Had a friend come over, help me decorate it. And beyond that, I'm still just a single dude who's lazy.
Right, right, right.
And I'm like, oh, I'm not taking that shit down.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to take it down in July or just leave it up all day. I'm
gonna year stop. Round.
I'm know? Not going to, yeah. But so far, I'm enjoying having it sitting up there in the living room. It just, it's fine. It's festive. There's a little alcohol ornaments hanging on it.
Oh, nice.
And little like superhero guys hanging off of it. There's a Captain America shield, and I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
That's fun. Sounds like you have a great Christmas tree.
Yeah.
It deserves to be up year round.
Yeah.
It took me a while to take mine down, too. Because, like, after, in the holidays, you just feel like you don't want to do shit.
Yeah.
And then, like, after New Year's, you really don't want to do shit. And then you get into that weird phase where you're like, I need to take it down.
Yeah.
And then I start rationalizing my head. I'm like, well, I don't know. Like, I might break one of the ornaments if I do it right now. I'm stressed out about it or something.
Plus,
and I just procrastinate.
By the time February rolls around, you're back to having too much stuff to do again.
Right.
You're busy.
Yeah.
We're all busy. We don't have time to be taking trees up and putting them down.
Yeah.
So, yeah, mine's still there.
I like it better if you had, like, a browning old tree rotting in your living room.
Well, it's good, man. It's underrated. Shit is underrated.
But here's the thing. All the needles are on the ground around it, just bare branches.
I have posted occasionally I put my tree on Instagram just to let people know it's still up.
Right.
We're still doing this.
Randomly, I will have friends who I haven't seen in a long time come up to me and, I'll see them, hey, how's it going? And do that quick thing. And then they're right to it. Is the Christmas tree still up? And then the question they will ask is it a real tree or a fake one?
Right.
Which I feel like says a lot about the way people think of you. The fact that you think I would have a dead tree just sitting, probably bugs crawling out of it.
Well, I think that's an easy way of not being rude and just going, like, the follow-up question being like, are you okay?
Right.
You know what I mean? It was like, you still have the tree up? And then if it's yes, then the way you figure out if you're okay is like, is it a real one or a fake one? Because you'd be like, is everything cool?
Yeah. Yeah, I should just walk around with, like, pine needles hanging off me and, like,
just
dust.
Like, a bunch of mites, like wood mites everywhere.
I mean, I did have a brief yellow jacket problem in my apartment, and they were just getting in. And
oh, wow.
One of them, we had to have a guy come out and seal up all of the windows in my office. That's how they were coming through. And then, like, seal up the air conditioners from the outside. But one got in. And I didn't realize it at the time, but I walked past my tree and I heard a buzzing. And I didn't realize it till later. It was in the tree.
Oh.
And one of the things we did is there's just one of me. But
you and the pine needles.
Yeah. I had these pine sticks that you can hang in the tree and make it smell like
an actual
pine.
Christmas tree.
Yeah, and I think that was driving them crazy.
Ah.
And so they were getting in the house.
Did you feel like the pine smell was effective? Because we got a real Christmas tree that mm-hmm. is not one of the ones that has the scent, and we tried to get the pine scented. We tried to have it both ways, because some of the ones that don't have the scent are fuller and look better.
Mm-hmm.
So we added the pine scent, and it just smelled like a car air freshener. Did you find
you
a good
got
one?
The sticks?
Chris Farley and sticks. Tommy Boy.
Yeah, they were
yours
almost
were good?
Too strong.
That
we
was
went
my
a little
issue.
Crazy.
They were.
Me and my friend put all of them on the tree, and then like 3 days later, I was like, I gotta get these things off. It smells like I live in the woods.
Yeah.
Right.
This has to go.
It's like my nose keeps bleeding.
Yeah, and so I left like one or two on.
Okay, I think we just got shitty ones.
Yeah.
You know what's also good? If you want to feel like living in the woods, there is incense that is campfire incense that is great if you like campfires, if you ever like camping, check it out.
Or just go outside, y'all.
Yeah. And
that's
start
true.
A campfire?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't
Anywhere.
Get to be around campfires very
It's totally
often.
Lawful.
Yeah.
Kevin, finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true, you know to be false?
Here's the thing. Let's talk about deja vu.
Let's.
Because people have different ideas about it, and I think a lot
We're talking
of people...
about the Denzel Washington movie, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Underrated.
Right.
I did actually have to think about that for a minute. That movie is on the line. still really enjoy it. Love time travel. People get their ideas about deja vu. Some people say past lives. Some people, I don't know. But I'm here to tell you what deja vu really is. The brain is such a brilliant instrument and machine that, as you know, it's working constantly, nonstop. Every once in a while, it has to take a break. But it's so powerful that break is like almost immeasurable in how short that break is, right? So let's say I'm sitting here and I'm focused on the, and I turn and I look at this bottled water right here in mm-hmm. front of me.
For listeners at home, he has a bottle of water in front of him.
Thank you. Not a LaCroix. And I turn and I see this bottle of water, and right at that moment is when my brain takes its little break. But that break is so it goes by so quickly that when it starts again, it's like I've split the thought in half. So I'm looking at the bottle of water, take a break, and then again I'm looking at the bottle of water, and you're registering that as this feels like this moment has happened before.
Right, because you're remembering it.
Yeah.
But
it's really
also
just
experiencing
one singular instant.
Yeah, it's engaging your memory and your experiential part of your brain.
You're basically living one thought in one moment twice in one instant.
I've heard that described or explained before, and you did a way better job than, I guess, the professor that explained it to me.
Well, way better than The Matrix.
Yeah, way better than The Matrix. I still think it's past lives, but that's a good theory, I guess, Kevin.
If we're going off the law that we are in The Matrix, then I mm-hmm. guess that holds up. But we all know it's a glitch in The Matrix.
We still could be in The Matrix.
Yeah, I'm holding out for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's all just a highly detailed video game simulation that we're all living.
Yeah. You think we're in The Matrix 1, 2, or 3?
God.
I hope 2.
My life feels like 3, but that's just because I'm in a really bad place right now.
And you have like a Christ fantasy.
yeah, exactly. All right, guys, let's get into what people are talking and thinking about right now. And there's just a great story that I wanted to start off with about what it's like to live inside the company that runs our world today. To work and live inside.
I feel like the demands are so high.
At Amazon. So Jeff Bezos called a meeting around the holidays. This is common. He has like daily meetings that they refer to as like the war room. I don't know where they came up with that. Mm. That's brilliant. So he takes customer service very seriously. Just for context, the way that he reads every email that comes to him. If you want to email Jeff Bezos, you can. Jeff@amazon.com, and he will read your email. He reads everything because he's like a actual supercomputer.
We will get him to acknowledge.
Yeah, we're gonna troll him.
Yeah. Have you emailed him?
I'm gonna start.
We haven't. We just found this out today, and that is going to be at least 50% of our time.
Homie, pull up. I'm in North Hollywood.
But then he will forward emails that are critical of products or services that Amazon provides to the person in charge of that with just a question mark. And
that's got to be
just
so
such a fucking power
stressful.
Play. So I've also heard from people who were considering jobs at Amazon, and they, you know, talked to other people who worked at Amazon. And these are people to work at Amazon. You have to have a lot of success and, like, you know, have had a career up to that point. You mm-hmm. have to have been a successful business person. And they said that people regularly cry in the office, like just regularly get broken
in the office,
down.
Not like in the warehouse? Because I know the warehouse is like a whole other
right.
scenario.
So that is bad.
Workplace.
Yeah. No, those people cry because they just don't get breaks.
Right.
But
the executives?
The
are
executives regularly are broken down into tears. But just a great illustration of what that looks like. So during an executive meeting around the holidays, he had gotten maybe a couple emails in his inbox about their slow customer service time and how long it takes when somebody calls in to get somebody to answer the phone.
Yeah.
And the VP of customer service was like, look, we are, according to my reports, down to under a minute. I don't know what you're talking about, Jeff Bezos. And he was like, oh, really? Let's see. And he called Amazon customer service, put it on speakerphone in this meeting, and just waited and made just intense eye contact with everybody in the room as it stretched on for a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. By 4 minutes, it might as well have been like a year and a half.
Right,
because
right,
everyone
right.
was just like had sweat all of the water in their body out. And then the person finally answered the phone and was like, can I help you? And he was like, nah, and hung up the phone. So that VP apparently resigned less than a year later, and that's the sort of fucking no bullshit craziness that it takes to run Amazon.
Also, my guy, don't lie if something can be so easily verified.
Right.
Like, yeah, we're down to under a minute.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Really, okay. Motherfucker.
Well, maybe that's kind of a thing that's not able to be measured. Because, yeah, I bet that's their record time. But, right. You know, what if he called it like a high volume time? Like, right. What are you saying? Just at this point, you're saying, I need customer service people just standing on deck, not doing anything, waiting.
Right.
For the moment, you know, that someone calls. And at that point, you're just kind of throwing away money.
Right.
Like, that's someone's decision to go, we can't just.
That's a really good money, point. You know, you can't make broad decisions about, you know, customer service. But I mean, the way that Amazon runs their business is they will just spend and spend and spend until they have the best possible product, the best, you know, solution to a problem, mm-hmm. and not worry about, you know, cutting costs or whatever. That's why they, you know, were never profitable.
But that's not a business practice that anyone has, is just to have your on-deck customer service reps. Just hanging out, reading a magazine. Right.
To just like, throw endless amounts of money away at something like customer service. They're like,
no one does that.
You're taking a huge hit in I mean, customer service is great, but we're losing $3 million a year because you just have people sleeping in there.
That's what customer service is. It's you call, you have to wait.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the longest you've waited for any kind of customer service?
I have had experiences where I've had to like go do a meeting while like I have my headphones on listening to the customer service call. And then, like, the person picks up and, like, it was, like, an hour and a half.
Right.
Picks up and hangs up before I can, like, get out of the meeting.
Oh, my.
And I forget what I was waiting for, but it was infuriating.
Sounds like a cool
probably
stand-up
DMV. Yeah. And the only reason I bring this up on today's episode is because this is who our president is picking a fight with. And I would hate this guy for in all other scenarios, but we live in a Trump v. Bezos world, or we might be living in a Trump v. Bezos world.
And, what did you do? What's happened now?
Well, no, just Trump has shown just hostility toward Amazon because
or the
I think,
Washington Post.
Yeah, and the Washington Post.
Right.
Because of the Washington Post, and also because Amazon puts a lot of brick and mortar businesses out of business, and Trump's background is in real estate. So he, you know, is constantly
Trump's
talking
background
shit
is in
about,
failed businesses.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the other thing is that they are polar opposites in the sense that Jeff Bezos runs one business and has become the richest person in the history of the world. And, you know, has just made that business incredibly successful, whereas Trump has run many businesses and fucked them all up.
It's
so
not that rich.
They're opposites in that respect.
Not that rich a dude.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Did you guys ever do a deep dive on that in any of the shows that you wrote for?
We did many deep dives on
and that. Did he call and, like, threaten to sue?
Oh, you know, no. Okay. No. I was thinking maybe something weird happened, but no. Yeah. There was we did a lot of Trump at Last Week Tonight.
Yes.
And I mean, I left right after the election was 2016, right?
Yeah.
2016. Yeah. Time just is not linear to me. It's all blending together. Yeah, so
Matrix,
I left. That was my last season, and then they continued to
to
really go in on him because, you know, how can you not?
No, that is definitely true.
But it's hard to. It's just a nightmare to have to, like, all through the election when we were working on stuff, you know, it became more and more Trump and it became more and more depressing. And it's very hard to sort of do that.
We've pushed through to the other side where we're just insane and don't even know what's real anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We honestly believe we're in the Matrix.
Yeah. That's the only way I can deal with it.
Joking,
I was rattled to my core when you tried to explain deja vu because I need it to be the Matrix. I need this shit to be the Matrix.
Sorry. Ooh. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And super producer Anna Hosni, I wanted me to make sure I corrected an error. Yeah. We had discussed the fact that he should be called Babezos because he's such a hunk. And now he has been called that. So you can congratulate super producer Anna Hosni on that
beautiful
joke.
Beautiful man.
He is. All right, guys. The primaries were yesterday. It was the Super Tuesday of the primary season. And the Democrats avoided disaster in California. You know, the parties seemed to, I don't know, prove that they can still swing it around a little bit. Nate Silver's analysis was that, a lot of the chosen candidates by the major parties, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, were the ones who ended up winning. And the disaster scenario that Democrats had been worried about in California, which was that because California is called a jungle primary, it's essentially the top two candidates, no matter what party they're from in the election, the top two vote-getting candidates just end up running against each other. It doesn't matter if it's two Republicans, two Democrats. And in a lot of these districts, because there was so much, you know, energy behind Democrats at this time, there were too many Democrats running against each other. And it came down to the wire in a lot of cases. And in some cases, it's still a possibility that it'll be two Republicans.
There's some that are pretty close, but
really,
it looks
really
like...
close. But it looks like they kind of made it through by the skin of their teeth. So the Democrats are still alive in a lot of the races that they need to be alive in.
You're saying
all of them.
There's too many Democrats. That's what we're...
So there were too many Democrats running against each other, and they were splitting the votes.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. When are we going to get it together?
Right. So in some cases, they managed to get like the people who weren't going to make it through to drop out. And, you know, those people still were on the ballot, and they still got some of the votes, but they didn't get enough to, you know, siphon off votes from the people who were actually threatening to make it through and be one of the top two candidates.
Well, here's what I want to know. Who among us voted for the puppeteer?
For the puppeteer?
For governor.
Gavin Newsom?
No.
If there was a candidate.
He's not the... Never mind.
Who's the puppeteer?
There was one person, I think, at the top of
the
ballot.
Oh, you mean the guy who's the literal fucking puppeteer?
Yes!
No, I know who you're talking about now.
I saw that
we
and I was
jokes.
Like, I mean, there was, my hand just kind of went to his name. And then I was like, don't you do it. Don't you do it. How fun would that be?
Having just a puppeteer?
Yeah, just a, you know, proscenium. He's just working out of there the whole time.
Then there's that guy, Peter Liu, who had the weird hat on, who was like making a bunch of videos. Anyway, there were a lot of interesting people who were running for governor. But that's the thing with California. So many weird people have ran for governor.
Is that a thing that always happens? We get like 27 people running?
Yeah, I remember when like after Gray Davis, when it was, you know, left office.
Was recalled, right?
Yeah. All the people that like ran like Mary Carey, the adult film star, and like all kinds. It was like a circus. And then it ended up being Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right. Yeah. People saw that Schwarzenegger was running, and they were like, well, fuck it. I guess I can do
fun.
This, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in the California State Senate, it looks like it's actually going to be two Democrats. It's going to be Feinstein and Kevin De Leon, who is sort of a further left Democrat.
Yeah.
So the speculation is that might depress Republican turnout because most people go to the polls to vote for the top of the ticket. Races. And, you know, that's the big race. And if Republicans don't have a candidate to vote for, that's going to make fewer of them want to come out. But the other big statewide election was the gubernatorial race. And it was speculated that Villaraigosa, the former mayor of Los Angeles, might make it through to second and make that one also two Democrats, in which case the Democrats really would have been in business, but that did not come to pass. Villaraigosa was a distant third.
Despite spending many monies.
Yeah, many, many monies. And the Republicans came through with a guy named John Cox, who was the choice of the RNC, despite the fact that he appears to be a, and I think I have this right, a fucking loser.
Wow.
that was the research done by super producer Sophie Lichterman. But that
really doubled down on the loser.
She really
part.
Doubled down
loser.
On it. She was
yeah,
like,
he doesn't
make sure you say that he is
loser.
A fucking loser.
And not even like that he's like, you know, lame and he hangs out with the weird emo kids.
He
like,
just loses a lot.
He does not have a record of winning.
Yeah. Mm. He's run a lot of Illinois political campaigns. He's from Illinois. He lost in the Republican primary race to be a congressperson from Illinois in the 10th congressional district. He lost a lot in Illinois. Ran to be president in 2008, lost before anyone had even heard that he was running to be president. Wow. Then he, you know, went.
He ran for president?
Yes. He ran for president, was...
wait, and what's he running for now?
Now he wants to be governor.
He
was running for governor.
So just wait, because he was so humbled by his failed presidential bid that he next ran for neighborhood legislature and lost. So he has not done very well in electoral politics up to this point, but he endorsed Trump. Trump endorsed him. And so he is now running against Gavin Newsom, who, again, a hunk. We were talking about a lot of hunkage on this episode, but yeah, so we'll see.
California's having some Newsom.
Yeah.
Right? These are some of the jokes I'm telling.
Stay tuned for more. But yeah, no, I think, well, the neighborhood legislature thing was a ballot initiative.
Okay.
It wasn't him running for a thing.
Okay. But the thing that he put on the ballot.
Yeah, he tried to get it on there four times, I think.
Yes.
And it didn't happen.
When do you just give up? You know?
You don't, but I think when
you don't. You just keep going until you become the candidate for governor, I guess.
Does he have hobbies? I mean, he needs to get in something else that's
I don't know,
probably
losing,
wearing him down.
I don't know what he does. He looks like a guy who just kind of like sleeps sitting upright in like a room. Ooh. Like, it doesn't seem, I don't see much beyond his visage.
And there was also in yesterday's election some Benghazi news, Miles.
Yeah. So Brock Turner, the swimmer that sexually assaulted the woman who was unconscious, you know, we all were like, well, yo, he only got 6 months for that. Well, the judge who gave him that sentence was fucking recalled in Santa Clara County. And that's kind of a big deal, because this is the first time since 1932 that a judge has been recalled successfully in the state of California. Because, yeah, this was just seemed like the biggest fuck up for a judge. And yeah, so, I mean, good for Santa Clara County for getting his bum ass out of there. So, you know,
what does that mean? Did they vote him out, or was a decision made?
It's like a Gray Davis kind of situation. You get enough people to be like, I think we need to recall this judge and take him off the bench. So they get enough signatures and then get it on the ballot to be like, do we want to recall this judge? Yeah.
And then does he run for election again, or how does that work?
I don't know if he can run again. I don't know technically what that looks like, but I
just
can't.
Has he been replaced though?
Yeah, he was immediately replaced, actually, with the woman who was spearheading the effort to recall him.
Oh, great.
Who was, like, I think a DA or something, or another judge. But, she was, you know, got a lot of support very quickly to have him recalled.
Yeah, and it continues to be a trend that women and outsiders are seeing success in the elections.
Oh, yeah, especially in New Mexico. Democrats nominated the Representative Michelle Lujan Grisham to be governor, and she could be the first ever Democratic Latina governor.
Yeah,
a lot of progressive wins across the country, because it wasn't just us in California having primaries.
Mm. Yeah, it was the biggest batch of primaries that we see, I think, in the primary season.
Yeah, Alabama, California, Iowa, Mississippi, Montana, New Jersey, New Mexico, and South Dakota.
Yeah, I've heard of most of those. All right, let's get into some national politics, because the culture wars had a huge battle yesterday.
Wow.
Donald Trump fired a shot across the bow, and he half-assed together a last-minute celebration of America.
Right, because he spitefully disinvited the Eagles when he found out less than 10 people wanted to go because Trump. And so he framed it as, oh, you know, the Eagles have let their fans down, but don't worry, for the thousands of Eagles fans who wanted to come see their championship team, I'm putting together a celebration of America, and we can honor, you know, America and the stars and stripes and the red, white, and blue. And it was like, it sounds like the saddest shit ever, because it was, I think, just a couple flags were hung up. There was the army band and army chorus performed. And again, keep in mind, those are like the only like entertainers you can demand them perform for you. So it kind of was a bit of a flat event.
You gotta wonder if those less than 10 Eagles wanted to just go just to see if they could steal something from the White House. You know what I mean?
Right?
Just
exactly.
Like, I just want to see if I could take something. Yeah. Like office supplies, anything.
A table leg.
Yeah. Just to make it out of there with something.
Yeah, and there a few things came out from this. One of the little viral clips that we saw was some guy took a knee during the national anthem of the thing, and it was funny because you saw like some like aghast people around him, like, oh wow, this guy's a real
troll. At the celebration.
At the celebration, they were doing the national anthem, and this guy just took a knee right there. And then also, I mean, what the other weird thing was that a lot of people were like, okay, this is supposed to be for Eagles fans, and Trump was being like, this is for you, the fans. Didn't seem like there was really any Eagles fans. So the Philadelphia affiliate for NBC, their sports guy went down to cover this, and his description of this whole thing is kind of sad.
With NBC 10's Tim Furlong live at the White House, where the event just wrapped up and was much different than what we expected 24 hours ago, Tim.
I'm not even technically sure what to call it. It only lasted about 10 minutes tops. I counted literally one or two Eagles logos anywhere in the entire crowd. Now, we were told this was an event for Eagles fans and that the team essentially abandoned the fans who were going to be here, but the president never once mentioned the Eagles. And after the national anthem, the president just spoke briefly about why we, in fact, stand for the anthem. After the event, I was just curious to know who these people were at this event today, because we were told they were Eagles fans. Well, the first six people that I went up to, I can tell you this. I asked them who was the quarterback during the Super Bowl for the Eagles. The first six people I asked did not know the answer. A couple people after that said no comment. We did find a couple people that did know the answer who were fans, but a lot of them were Pennsylvania GOP members who were down as a pro-Trump event, and it happened to be an Eagles event. And then we also found a lot of people were there because they had an in with somebody who could get them into the White House for this event. So a lot of people there today, not very in any way like a Dilworth Plaza Philadelphia Eagles pep rally. There was no fly Eagles fly. At some point, somebody said they heard a chant, but whatever it was, guys, it was very faint.
Wow.
No comment is amazing.
Yo, that's because
who was the Eagles quarterback?
No comment, motherfucker.
Yeah.
All right.
You trying to like gotcha me?
10-minute county fair is right. What
exactly.
Happened there.
Well, when you look at the photos, it's all suits. So yeah. You know it was it looks like a panicked thing that they're like, yo, we got it. We need bodies out there.
Yeah, just and a bunch like, of interns from Capitol Hill.
What an idiot.
That's why people, when they're asked, are like, no comment.
Right.
I'm here just physically. That is all I'm here for.
See, it's amazing because they accuse the left of like having crisis actors that they put in place during like
astroturfing and shit like that.
But they have their own half-assed crisis actors. They're the ones who actually put fake people out there.
Yeah, and it's not that it's bad that you don't know the Eagles quarterback or whatever.
Nick Foles.
But just to say no comment to that is such a clear thing that you feel like you're being interrogated and you have something to hide from this person.
A robot says that.
Yeah.
Right. That's, you know.
You could have really just been like, no, I'm here for Trump, man.
I cannot process your request.
Yeah.
That's like something Siri would say on a bad day.
404
like,
error.
Yeah.
At the same time, I mean, it doesn't really say anything that there weren't Eagles logos because, I mean, the Eagles fans are notoriously understated and, you know, they don't go over the top with
super
their
subtle.
Eagles love.
Yeah
so
calm.
Easily, you know, you can easily mistake Eagles fans for just government suits with
until
like
see,
wires in their
until
ears.
You see Blake Wexler come in here like head to toe
Eagles
regalia.
Do not fuck it. Like Eagles fans, like I've been at events that have nothing to do with the Eagles where my three Philadelphia friends start E-A-G-L-E-S Eagles chants. The fact that that wasn't happening at an actual event celebrating the Eagles championship is insane.
Yeah.
Like there must have been negative Eagles fans there.
Yeah, of course, because why the fuck if they're going to go, "Oh yeah, guys, your team is going to be here. You get to see them in the flesh," and then be like, "Also, they're not going to be here. I don't know if y'all still want to come."
Well,
even
yeah.
That's the whole reason you would have came.
And you can have an event for the fans but talk shit about their team.
Right.
That defeats the whole purpose.
You.
Yeah, I just want to have an event for the fans of the bullshit shitty Eagles. Like why would you know?
But Trump, he loves you, babe.
Yeah,
that's my impression of Trump, I guess. That was terrible.
Does he have a favorite football team? Who do you think Trump is?
Probably the Patriots, unfortunately, because he and Kraft are boys. And Tom Brady was seen with that MAGA hat. Oh, I hate being a Patriots fan.
I don't think he knows anything about football, to be honest.
Yeah.
He probably just remembers the USFL or whatever the fuck.
Right. He remembers that the Buffalo Bills didn't let him buy their team, even though he had enough money, because he's...
Those Bill backers, they're lame anyway.
Right.
Fuck them.
What else is going on in the world of Trump?
Well, let's see. I mean, he's just kind of having a bad week. It just seems like, you know, first he was saying, like, I'm literally the law and comparted myself, and even the Republicans were pushing back. Then, obviously, last week he took that huge L with Spygate when he was like, they sent a spy, the FBI sent a spy. And even though Devin Nunes and Trey Gowdy looked at the documents about it, and they're like, there's really nothing here to support that, he's still trying to make this Spygate shit happen. Like, it's the word fetch of 2018. It ain't happening, my guy. Because last night, started tweeting about Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, who are the two FBI people. One is an agent and the other is his girlfriend, who's a lawyer at the Bureau. And like, those are the text messages. A lot of people are being like, look, you see these people were, they had it in for Trump from the beginning, looking at their text messages. And he points to this one text that says, you get all our OCONUS lures approved, winky face emoji. And most people were like, whatever. And the response is like, no, it's just implicated a much bigger policy issue, blah, 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 with another winky face emoji. And he tweets, wow, Strzok, Page, the incompetent, corrupt FBI lovers have texts referring to a counterintelligence operation into the Trump campaign dating way back to December 2015. Spygate is in full force. Now, when you try and figure out what the fuck this man is talking about, you have to go all the way to the hotbed of investigative journalism known as Reddit. And there's a subreddit there called R Conspiracy, where you can find all kinds of wild shit. And someone in there posted or points out that OCONUS means outside contiguous United States, and lures is referring to spies. So they're talking about foreign agents meant to lure in the Trump campaign. Now, there's really nothing, again, I mean, maybe that could be the case, but if you just ignore the fact that there is no fucking evidence whatsoever that there was, that gives any kind of credence to the idea that the intel community was like implanting spies to bring down the Trump campaign. Also, my guy, you're the president. So they fucked up really bad if they were really trying to do that. It's just a lot of distraction because there's just a lot of bad shit happening. And this is sort of like the only thing, this is his little distraction flare he can send up to get people to look the other way.
The only consistent thing about looking at the FBI and how they regarded the Trump campaign in the run-up to the election is that literally nobody took the possibility that he could win seriously in the least bit. Right. Nobody was doing anything like to, you know, submarine his chances or
fuck up
his chances.
But then we all got real nervous.
We all did, but Comey was more nervous up until the last day
that he was going
to be seen as helping Hillary Clinton after she won. It just seems like they were nervous that like some shit was going down, which it's entirely possible it was, but they were not, nobody seemed to be taking seriously the possibility that he was going to actually win the election, which even if they were, you know, talking about Trump shit with that email, like the winky smiley face emoji says volumes.
That winky smiley face emoji actually means Trump campaign.
Right.
Surrogates. How do we?
Yeah. You know how Bond is always like sending winky smiley face emojis to other double
text very regularly with him. The other thing too was that he was just tweeting again. Really is going hard against the fake news, quote unquote fake news, because of all the Melania Trump speculation. They're like, yo, we have not seen her in many days, like formally. Like there was one event that happened, but the press was not allowed inside. So there are photos that she was there. But
I hope it's a fake Melania.
We all do.
That's just
but look, and that's how I know Trump listens to our show and other garbage outlets, because his tweet is so really odd. He says, the fake news media has been so unfair and vicious to my wife and our great first lady Melania. During her recovery from surgery, they reported everything from near death to facelift to left the White House and me for New York or Virginia to abuse. All fake. She is doing really well. Now, I don't know what real news outlet. Like the New York Times is like, Melania bounced on Trump because he's hitting her. Like, there's, or the Washington Post is like, yo, she almost died from her botched facelift. Like, this is the kind of shit that we talk shit about on podcasts or people on Twitter make jokes about. But again, he's conflating that with the fake news media because I don't know, again,
what did she have his word done? For CNN.
Mm-hmm. What was her procedure again?
They said it was a benign kidney treatment.
Well, right. And that was like days ago, right?
Yeah.
It was like 20-something days ago.
Oh, 20-something days ago.
And like most like other doctors who they've asked, they're like, well, if it's what we think it is, like it's probably she would have been there maybe at most a couple of days, but not like, you know, this long.
She should be up and about. But where would she be after like 20 days? After
I think
surgery?
She just literally doesn't want to go out, like doesn't want to be seen. Yeah. Or it's like, yo, leave me alone.
It's fucking stressful to be seen. And also it would be surprising if she didn't hate her husband a little bit at this point. So like making public appearances with somebody you're supposed to be in a marriage with, who you are just constantly finding out was fucking other women while you were in recovery from childbirth with your son with him. Like, that's a lot to deal with. I don't blame her if she doesn't want to make public appearances right now. Yeah. But, like, this just shows him claiming that the actual media is claiming that she had a facelift or left the White House or whatever. Like, it just shows his inability, same with the conspiracy shit, his inability to distinguish between actual media and the comment section under that media right. and fucking, you know, crazy blogs linking off to that media or just Reddit shit.
But if you're this woman and you have just had surgery, I would milk the shit out of it. I would be like, oh, I got to be in bed one more week.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Well, I would also be like, you want me to make an appearance? Well, yeah. Let's change that prenup a little bit.
Oh, there's another tweet, too, because as if, you know, it weren't enough, he felt like people weren't convinced. I don't know why. He's really doubling down. The fact, also, she's doing really well is very suspicious. Like,
yes.
With an exclamation point.
Well, but that's what he talks like that about anything. I mean,
well, so the next tweet he sent was, ellipsis, starts off with an ellipsis because he's coming off that other text mm-hmm. or the other tweet. Four reporters spotted Melania in the White House last week walking merrily along to a meeting. They never reported that, the sighting, because it would hurt the sick narrative that she was living in a different part of the world, was really ill or whatever. Fake news is really bad. Walking merrily along to a meeting. Like, I've never seen Melania Trump really even smile unless our boy Barack Obama is, you know, just telling her a joke at a funeral.
That's
but, like,
true.
Maybe she was wearing a Santa hat.
Yeah.
She's just
like skipping along,
yeah.
whistling.
Look, President Trump, because it's clear that you do listen to this
yes.
podcast.
Thank you so much.
We're the only ones who are putting these wild ass conspiracy theories out there. President Trump, if you want to prove this once and for all we need is for you to take a picture with your wife, with her holding up an issue of a newspaper with the date of today mm-hmm. on it. That's all.
That's all.
Yeah.
Like a kidnapping photo.
Yeah. Don't tell him that, Kevin.
Sorry. Yeah.
It's called love proof.
Yeah, yeah. That's
proof
normal.
Of love.
I'm just giving him a reference so he knows what to,
right,
you know.
Right, proof of life. All right, we're going to take another quick break, and then we'll be right back with more Trump administration bullshit. And we're back. We were just talking about other famous missing powerful women's wives like Shelley Miscavige. The wife of David Miscavige, who began expressing doubts about Scientology, the religion that her husband runs, and suddenly
not
people
religion,
stopped,
fucking business.
Yeah,
we don't
stopped
even...
hearing and seeing her, and hearing from and seeing her.
I still get bummed out when I drive by the Celebrity Center. I see all those motherfuckers just dressed up, working for free.
Right,
and you're like, wow, oof. Like wow, like.
What else? Do they have other jobs? I mean, is that a...
I'm sure, though. Yeah, people have jobs, but, like, when you're doing stuff at, a Scientology center or something, mm-hmm. like, those people are not paid. Like, they're there wow. as volunteers.
Yeah. The Sea Org, they sign their lives over. It's actually, like, 23 lives or something like that. They give away this life and all the lives they're going to be reincarnated into to just do manual labor for the Church of Scientology. So Tom
what?
Cruise literally... benefits, like, lives on the back of slave labor because he has children, people who were signed over, like, when they were children, who actually just work for room and board. That's it.
Wow.
Yeah.
But also, you know, just achieving your thetan levels, too.
That's
so
true.
Let's be real, you know.
On the other hand, they are in much better places
because
with regards to how Zeno views them.
Zenu, my guy. Have some respect. He did not put all those
Zenu
spirits
in
it, right?
Plural. Zeno is the singular.
No. The Zeni. And Xena warrior princess.
Scott Pruitt.
Yep, Scott Pruitt.
Also a warrior princess.
Also a warrior princess.
That's all. No, Scott Pruitt, we're just learning more and more about the inner workings of the EPA,
aka God Scam God.
Oh, this dude. Yeah.
Yeah. Just a couple things that we learned about real quickly. So here's just a rundown of the last week of Scott Pruitt fuckery.
Last week, we learned the EPA administrator spent a whopping $1,560 on a dozen customized silver fountain pens. And we wondered, had we reached peered weirdness / pettiness from Pruitt? Well, no, not so fast, because yesterday we found out Scott Pruitt had, and I am not making this up, and I can't believe I'm reporting it to you, but it's what happened, tasked his publicly funded government employee assistant with tracking down a used mattress from the Trump International Hotel in D.C. And that was the absolute weirdest Scott Pruitt headline you could ever possibly imagine. Until the Washington Post dropped this beauty today, Scott Pruitt enlisted an EPA aide to help his wife to get a gig with Chick-fil-A. All right, new emails released as part of a FOIA by the Sierra Club. show that Pruitt had his executive scheduler, that would be a government employee who is paid through public money, try to set up a meeting with the chairman and CEO of the Chick-fil-A company last year about a, quote, potential business opportunity, which is weird in and of itself. He's running the EPA. Why is he doing that? The emails show that Chick-fil-A referred the request to the director for regulatory and government affairs, assuming this was some sort of official business. Eventually, Pruitt did speak with someone from Chick-fil-A's legal department, and only then did he reveal the opportunity on his mind was a job for his wife, Marlon. Specifically, he wanted his wife to open up a Chick-fil-A franchise. A company representative also told the Washington Post that Mrs. Pruitt started but did not complete the Chick-fil-A franchisee application.
Mm. Well, at least she started it.
You got to work your way up.
Yeah. I mean, what the fuck? First, the $1,500 on pens from a jewelry store because you want the most litty silver fountain pens.
Yeah.
Then a used mattress, which I'm still not sure. Is it that, you know, we were talking, is it that he's cheap? And he was like, yo, finesse me a used mattress.
From Trump Tower?
From a Trump hotel.
It doesn't make any sense.
Maybe she doesn't like chicken sandwiches. And she just realized that.
Yeah, what it was.
Maybe she didn't know what Chick-fil-A was.
Right, right, right.
The idea, I mean, why...
Also, just what a douchebag move to spend that much money on silver fountain pens. Like, there are great pens out there that cost a lot of money, but silver fountain pens made by a jeweler, that's right. Just like some
how many did you get?
Whack 12. Ostentatious shit, each costing 12? Over $100. Yeah, so, I mean, this just continues to get better and better. I'm almost at the point where I admire him now, just for the sheer... Wow. Balls that it takes. The used mattress thing is so weird because they've tried to get one of these used mattresses. Like the Washington Post called and was like, hey, can we get a used mattress? And they were like, talk to Sealy. What the fuck are you talking about? So it's really weird that he specifically wanted a used mattress from the Trump Hotel. Maybe it like has to do with some weird like ritual that he's doing, or maybe he killed someone on that mattress and he's trying to
a bed shitter.
Yeah, and he was trying to cover up the proof of it. We do not know.
I don't know. It's really that one's the most odd thing because
he just wanted a random mattress.
Well, we don't know. We just know that he gave a directive to track down a used mattress from the Trump Hotel.
So we don't know if it's a specific mattress. We don't know anything.
We don't know.
Based on the reporting and the wording of the reporting, it seems as though they were just asking for any used mattress from the Trump. But we don't have the details of the phone call. So it could have been, we want the mattress from room 212 because that's the one where...
The stinky one, you know what I mean?
if you know what we're saying.
Wow. Or he's just like, I don't know, but he can't be that cheap because this man is out here dropping $130 on pens.
Right.
So he could have just bought whatever... That's what I don't know.
The mattress. The mattress.
How much do you think a used mattress from the Trump Hotel cost?
I don't know. You can't even sell used mattresses legally, can you?
I mean, the thing that makes sense to me would be that he slept at a Trump Hotel and was like, that's the best mattress I've ever slept on.
Right.
I just want that mattress. Like, fuck it. But why would you get a used one? From a hotel.
It's the first bed I've never pooped in.
He could find out what those mattresses are, and he could go get them.
They tell you when you call the Trump Hotel, they say, oh, here, you can call Sealy. That's who makes this mattress.
This is the model number or whatever. Right?
Yeah, and he was like, no, I want a used one. He has a fetish. Like, that is some weird shit.
Good for him.
Yeah.
He's a mattress sniffer.
I mean, he knows what he likes, and he gets it done.
Good husband, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I know. Mm-hmm. Looking out
Putting the... credibility of the EPA on the line to get somebody a Chick-fil-A franchise.
Yes.
Hey, man, kleptocrat all-star.
Yet more good PR for Chick-fil-A. They're the best. All right. And finally, we're going to check in with the Google Trends page, which helps us learn what people are searching for at any given moment. We have three terms here we're going to look into. David Hogue was trending yesterday because he got swatted. LOL, 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 lol.
Thanks for saying it, pronouncing it for me.
Yeah, just in case people couldn't sound that out themselves. Which, if you don't know what swatting is, it is when somebody calls the police, your local police or, you know, some police around you, and reports a crime happening at your house or wherever they think you are that would require the SWAT team to roll in fully armed and, like, hold automatic, semi-automatic weapons on you, like burst down your door.
So they'll say people are being held hostage in a home, or someone murdered their family and is holding people hostage. Usually some kind of a hostage situation.
Usually gamers do it to each other because it's funny to see that happen to your friend
that
while
happened
you're streaming.
In December.
Yeah.
And a man in Kansas was killed.
Yes. Yeah.
Because,
oh, yeah. That's
because
the
of
less
some,
funny part.
Yeah.
When
because
they
of some,
literally kill people.
It was some beef over Call of Duty.
Right.
And yeah, it's a very fucked up thing. The most fucked up prank you can do because it can be fucking lethal.
Yeah.
That's why I can't play those games like online with other people. Just leave me in my room.
Right.
Playing this shit by myself. I don't want to talk to these fuckers.
Right.
They're fucking idiots.
It's just like next level sociopathy. It's fucking crazy.
And that's why I just play, you know, like real nice and easy games with no internet connection sometimes.
This definitely seems to me to be one of those examples of our, you know, politicians and judicial system lagging behind modern technology because there's no way this shouldn't be seen as attempted murder.
Well, no, the guy who called that one in Kansas, he was charged with involuntary manslaughter and like two other charges.
Yeah. Right. But even when they don't kill someone, they're pulling guns on them and, you know, ready to use them because of the crime that's been reported. So, I mean, I just don't see how it's not a jailable offense.
It is jailable, but you can't prove intent to murder.
Yeah.
With that.
I don't know. It just seems like the law should be harsher.
For swatting, because
you could definitely create a bigger penalty, or a higher penalty, but in terms of the charge, it probably can't.
And that's why Jack is introducing the SWAT Act.
Yes.
To Congress.
D-Day invasion is trending today because it is the 74th anniversary of the D-Day invasion.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite facts about the D-Day invasion, people are writing about how like technology affected the invasion, how geology affected the invasion. But I wanted to tell you guys about how amphetamines impacted the invasion. Hitler, by this point, was just an amphetamine-addled mess. And he also liked to stay up very late and sleep until noon on most days during World War II. And
that's
he
tight.
Had specifically instructed his people never to wake him up, and they knew never to wake him up just because he was just so fucking angry and crazy, which, you know, if you've ever dealt with somebody who's on uppers and you're trying to wake them up, it's not a good scene. So anyways, they let Hitler sleep until noon on D-Day, and because he was set on dictating all of the military strategy, they were unable to react and adapt to, you know, the surprise invasion until noon. So that gave the Allied powers a jump on the Axis powers because Hitler slept in that day.
Wow. So don't do drugs.
Don't do drugs while you're trying to mastermind World War II.
Don't do drugs, dictators.
Yes. And finally, Alice Marie Johnson is trending because Kim Kardashian has gotten her freed. She is a woman who was given an insanely harsh penalty, put in prison for years and years and years for what was her drug offense? Very limited.
It was like being part of a drug conspiracy, I think. But she was like in no way like a major player. It was just basically a nonviolent drug offense.
Right.
And was doing life.
And just, by all accounts, a really lovely person. And there was a Mike.com video about her plight that Kim Kardashian just happened to notice on Twitter. And this motivated her to set a meeting with President Trump. So she went, met with President Trump, and voila, Alice Johnson has been freed. Just also of note, a couple weeks ago, Sylvester Stallone met with Trump and got Jack Johnson his record cleared. Obviously, Jack Johnson has been dead for a long time, but he was the great heavyweight who was framed and, you know, just treated like shit by the system because he was black and famous at a time when America wasn't cool with that.
What?
I think
that was
still
a thing.
That's
Do you believe that?
This is 2018.
Right. Oh yeah.
So who do we need to send to meet with Donald Trump to get him to? So we got Kim Kardashian
leave?
For
just leave.
To leave, can to we just stop send being like racist, a, stop tearing families apart, stop colluding with
bar
Russia.
Bouncer just to get him and drag him out of there? Like,
well, it seems like a very specific type of celebrity works. Like, it has to be the most vapid Taco Bell is to Mexican food what this celebrity is to the issue at hand. Like, Sylvester Stallone getting the record of Jack Johnson freed because Sylvester Stallone played Rocky.
Because Rocky,
once.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe Dolph Lundgren gets us to the bottom of the Russia investigation because he played Ivan Drago.
Kim is something else. Yeah, you know, man. I have to hand it to her. When that meeting was set, I was like, what the fuck is going on? But I guess there really is a formula to this shit. Just get some celebrity to advocate for you. And if you have more followers than Trump, then maybe he'll listen.
Yeah.
She's going to be like, hey, can you stop like separating immigrant families at the border? Is that cool?
What was her response to this news, Miles?
Best news ever. And then three prayer hand emojis.
Yeah.
You, Kim Kardashian. I mean, if she can convince Trump to somehow look at the plight of somebody who is just a victim of the crazy sentencing laws, I don't know.
But wait. How hard was that task?
What do you mean?
You have Donald Trump and you have Kim Kardashian. She could have come over and asked him to get her car washed for free
at the
White House car wash. He'd be done.
Yes.
Like, I think he's such a simple-minded piece of shit that he was just excited to meet Kim Kardashian.
That's what I was saying.
Why? He didn't give a goddamn. I bet he didn't know who she was talking about. Or okay, yeah, I can do that. I don't think there was anything. It's good that this woman is you know that this has been taken care of, I don't know that. I think Kim Kardashian is a bit of a
I'm not really like commending her in that sense. It's amazing to sort of see that this is where we're at. And also, I'm sure he also did it for the optics going into midterms because let's face it, most people of color are not fucking with Donald Trump.
Right.
So he'll be able to like, you see what I did though? That woman from the Mike.com video.
Right.
I freed her.
Yeah.
Also, Kanye is my homie. So,
Think he just did it to meet. I think he might as well have been a 10-year-old boy.
Well, there was something said that he was thinking about his own ratings by having her there and taking that photo. And like
how he thinks about it.
And there
everything.
Was some mention to her, like to someone else, that he's like his like alignment with Kanye was helping his approval ratings with African Americans.
Yeah. So, I mean, in addition to, you know, all the investigations and things that are being done to undo his policies and fight him in the normal ways, I think we need to start thinking about shit like this. Like, what are these just incredibly synthetic things that appeal to him that we can use to manipulate this president? Well, because it seems very easy to do.
And there's that rumor now. Well, we don't know if it's true. It hasn't been confirmed yet that's why Dennis Rodman is going to the North Korea summit in Singapore.
Yeah.
So I don't know if been fully confirmed. I think just to be around. I don't know if he's going to be in the actual talks, but he may be there. That's what the whole thing they're saying, because I think he's the only person on earth who has met both Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
So, except for maybe Mike Pompeo, actually. But yeah, he's going to...
Oh, man.
I don't know.
They should all go to that water park together. You know, he's got that new-ish water park.
North Korea?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. There's great footage of him inspecting the building of the water park. Mm. And I mean, like, looking at all the toys that go into the water. Mm-hmm.
Very seriously.
Like squishing them?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, they should make a whole day of it.
Yeah. Kim Jong-un inspection photographs are among the best out there.
Yeah, I don't
know
who.
Because they're so carefully choreographed and then photoshopped. And yeah.
You got to squeeze them just right.
Yeah.
Those toys. I don't know who you bring out that gets him excited enough to do anything, you know. But maybe you just.
The ghost of his father?
That's actually, yeah, Hamlet. That motherfucker.
Dig up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has never seen Hamlet. So you could easily just like.
Just get the people who did the Tupac hologram.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then finesse that.
Went
and
out
just.
Of business
that's right.
Well, no, in Hollywood Boulevard, there's that weird like hologram theater and shit where you can see like Jimi Hendrix play.
I don't even think you need to go that over the top. I think you just need to get wrestlers who aligned with a specific image. And because inside his brain, the world is just the WWE. Like, everything just works like the WWE.
Yeah.
So all you need to do is get Hulk Hogan to, like, whatever aligns with Hulk Hogan, and, you know, you're going to be good.
A bandana.
Yeah. Kevin, it's been a pleasure having you, man.
It's been a pleasure being here.
Thank you for coming in. Where can people find you and follow you on the internet?
I'm at Kevin Avery on Twitter, and I'm at Kevin Avery Comedy on Instagram.
Miles, how about you?
Oh, Miles of Gray with an at symbol before it.
Oh,
on Twitter and
okay.
Instagram. Yes.
Nice. I am at Jack_O'Brien on Twitter. We are at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song that we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be today?
Well, yesterday I played Occasion Not a Flip, and a few people had some kind words to say, so let's just keep it going because it's hump day, and we just need all the energy we can get. So this is a remix of the band The Internet, LA-based band, and this track is called Roll, in parentheses, Burbank Funk. Shout out to the Valley, shout out to the SFV, A18, stand up. And this is the K-Tronata remix of that track, and you know, if you like the track from yesterday, you're gonna like this one too. And just keep it cooking, and then get through the week.
All right, we're gonna ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then, bye.
Listen to your heart.